May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, Amen. Isn't it nice to see the sun at last? While studying for my theology degree a very, very long time ago, in 1988, I went along to lectures given by a man called Callistos Ware, the Greek Orthodox bishop and scholar, who was lecturing in those days on the subject of the concept of the human personality in the early Greek fathers. It was riveting stuff. Father Callistos is still going strong in his late 80s now, but even then he was something of a legend and well worth listening to. The one thing I particularly remember about what he said was that one early Greek theologian had taught that we should have a piece of paper in a pocket on our right and on our left. On the one side, a piece of paper with the words written, "I am a wretched sinner." And on the other, a piece of paper with the words written, "The universe was made for me." In other words, the art of being a human being is a question of balance. We grow up in our early years wishing to please our parents and our teachers with a sense of right and wrong, and for better or worse, the attitude which was shown towards us in those days shapes our view of ourselves as adults. Today's gospel reading highlights two extreme positions: a Pharisee who Jesus criticizes for being too full of himself, for thinking that he was better than other people, and a tax collector who is commended for his humility. It's tempting to apply this text to ourselves and to ask which of these characters we are like, but is that really what is meant by the passage? Is that what God wishes? It says in the Gospel that Jesus told this story as a parable. If it is historically true, and he did tell the story as reported, then we need to consider what Jesus might have meant by that story in its context. In our text, to point out their hypocrisy, Jesus creates a figure who is proud and full of their own religious worthiness. He compares them to this tax collector, one of the bad people in the Gospels, who recognizes their own wrongdoing, their sin, and the harm that they do to others, and confesses it before God, showing remorse, repentance, and deep humility. This presentation is, I think, similar to the story of the Good Samaritan, where priests and Levites don't show compassion, and yet the Samaritan, another of those bad people in the Gospels, showed love and care. Jesus is, as we know, on the side of the underdog, the outcast, the marginal, and the broken. He goes to the highways and byways to bring into the kingdom those who have been excluded by the religious elite and smug religious people of his day. He tries to challenge the stereotypes of his followers, pointing out that Samaritans and tax collectors could be closer to God than some devout Pharisees if their attitude to God is one of humility and simple faith. But whether or not Jesus did tell the story as the Gospel records, we know that it was attributed to him by St. Luke in the Gospel written some 50 years later. We need to ask also what Luke meant by the inclusion of this passage in his account. At a time when the written gospel served to explain the life of Jesus to the persecuted early church and to give them hope in times of challenge and difficulty. In this period, some Jewish Christians were ejected from the synagogues and were treated with suspicion then by the Romans. The church was coming to understand itself as a movement which, having been rejected by Judaism, was now expanding as a religious faith largely for non-Jews. Luke was writing for a predominantly Gentile audience, trying to present the church as acceptable to the Roman world, trying to help the early church to understand its origins and why its Jewish leader and founder had been rejected by his own people. And so the story describes Jesus' appeal for his followers to be humble, but it's also a polemic against the religious elite who had rejected him. Interestingly, it was not the Pharisees, but the Sadducees who worked with the Romans and were likely to have had him killed. It was the Sadducees who were in power in AD 33. But by the time of Luke's writing, the temple in which they were so powerful had been destroyed by the Romans. And out of that ruin, the ruin of Jerusalem's religious cult, the Pharisees were the ones who emerged as leaders. And it was they who then helped to create a renewed Judaism based on worship not in the temple, but rather in people's homes and in synagogues. In this context, then, the passage was included as a way of denouncing the Jewish religious leaders of Luke's own day, the Pharisees, who were in places persecuting the church, driving Jewish Christians out of the synagogue community, and rejecting the church's claims for Jesus, their Jewish Messiah. And the trouble with this was that as a movement within Judaism, Christianity was protected by the Roman Empire. But once it was denied that status, Christians no longer had that legal protection and were seen as a danger to the Romans. Of course, the story, like all parables, is deliberately simplistic. I don't doubt that there were humble and self-deprecating Pharisees in Jesus' day, and 50 years later when Luke wrote his gospel, and that many a tax collector was also pretty smug about their life. Choice of profession is not necessarily a good indicator of character. There are today nurses who murder, and oil industry magnates who give to charity, care for their staff, and of course love their mothers. What then about us? Where are we in this drama? We can't help but ask, who am I? Does Jesus commend me or does he reject me? In reading the text, we revert emotionally to our early life, our early development, our desire to please our parents, and our competition, perhaps at times, with siblings. We desire to please our Heavenly Father, our parent in heaven, wondering if we have been good enough, if we are to expect a telling off or approval, punishment or blessing. Who are we then in the story? We want to be the humble one, the one who God loves best, but we fear that we may not be. Well, to speak of myself, I am, of course, the Pharisee, and I am, I hope, at times, the tax collector. None of us is morally one thing or the other, but as a child once wisely said, we are all stripy and prone to being good at sometimes and not so good at others. Being humble or being arrogant are convenient labels, and of course humility is to be prized, but the behavior or attitude which we display is never the whole story about us. Pompous arrogance is not an attractive trait, but it may be a veneer covering deep insecurity and hurt. On the other hand, self-deprecation or overt humility can lend itself also to controlling behavior and inappropriate self-loathing. It's all about balance. It's all about balance, and it's also all about honesty and finding sufficient trust in the love of God that we can be honest with ourselves and also with God Almighty. With honesty, we can face our need to compare ourselves to others and to criticize other people too. And we may also, with honesty, admit our faults, while also at the same time rejoicing in the good which God has made to flourish within us, the beauty and love which resonates within our hearts and our lives. And so today, on the last Sunday of Trinity, may the Holy One grant us balance and the honesty to open our hearts to God, in whom there is no partiality, but rather understanding and a never-ending ocean of compassion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.